Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be with you. We're going to jump into the Word. We're going to jump back into Unlimited. And I want to talk a little bit about Jesus. He makes you whole because he doesn't want you limited in any way. Psalm chapter 78, 42 to 43. "They remembered not seriously the miracles of the working of his hand, nor the day when he..." Jesus. Woo. Okay, "they remembered not seriously the miracles, the working of his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, how he wrought the miracles in Egypt and the wonders in the field of Zoan." Bill Johnson, great quote. I just love this one. I read it the first time. "It is abnormal for a Christian not to have an appetite for the impossible." If you don't have an appetite to constantly see the impossible manifest in your life, you're not normal. It's abnormal not to have an appetite for the impossible. It's been written into our spiritual DNA to hunger for the impossibilities around us to bow at the name of Jesus. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief comes only." This is the only reason he comes. He only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Who does that? It's the devil, all right? Ready? Some deep theology. Devil bad, God good. All right? A lot of people get confused. Why'd God do that? God didn't do that. Devil bad, God good. "But I have come that they might enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows." Unlimited, without limits, without bounds. There are no restrictions. Amen? Unlimited, no bounds, no restrictions whatsoever. That's what we want to see. All right, 3 John. 3 John, it's not it's just chapter 1, one chapter in 3 John, verses 2 to 4. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper." Say prosper. "In all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." So there's a degree here where your prosperity and your health are connected to your soul prosperity. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, your soul. How many know that Jesus died for your soul as well? He didn't just die for your spirit. Didn't just die so that your spirit could be made new and you get to go to heaven someday. He died so that your soul right now and your body right now can be impacted right now by the goodness of God. So that you can have health, so that you can have soul prosperity, so that you can be the most brilliant person, full of wisdom, full of incredible revelation, that you can have soul prosperity. But you see, the soul prosperity has a lot to do with other areas of prosperity and health. See, you can get born again and have your spirit born again and still need to work out areas in your spirit, man. But then if your soul isn't experiencing transformation, you can still be thinking wrong about a lot of the things of God. You can be born again and still not think God's for you. You can be born again and still not think God may not really like me like he does Pastor Carl. And he really, really does like me. Every day I wake up, he says, "You're so cute." I'm like, "Yeah, it's you again. Blessing me again." You should know that you're the apple of his eye. But a lot of people have a bad concept of God, and they have a bad concept of themselves. And that's an area in your soul where your thinking, where your emotions, where every part of you, your will, your ability to be committed to things needs to get aligned and needs to get, you know, strengthened and straightened out. He said, "I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you." Say truth. Truth, you gotta know the truth. It says in John 8, 32, it says, "Know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Not just offer you freedom or put freedom at your disposal, truth makes you free. But you gotta know it. You gotta know it, and you gotta know it yourself. And that's where you get into the Word. When you get into the Word is what feeds your soul. The Word is what divides. It's interesting, but properly translated, between soul and spirit, it's actually between soul and soul, and between spirit and spirit. That's the way the cutting goes. That's actually the proper Hebrew translation of that. But there's areas in your spirit that need to be properly aligned, areas in your soul realm that need to be properly aligned. None of it's evil. Your soul's good. Your body's good. This whole earthy realm is good. There's nothing evil down here. Everything God created is good. We want to see it completely redeemed, and we want to see it come under and aligned with truth, right? But he said, they testify the truth is in you, just as you walk in the truth, and I have no greater joy. Here's no greater joy. Here's what John the Apostle says. I have no greater joy except this, to hear the children are walking in truth. Because you know why? Because truth will work out every issue in your life. And you got to be walking in truth. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. So that 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself, God of peace, say peace.
Peace.
Shalom. Peace. Irene, peace. May the God of peace, hallelujah, himself sanctify you completely, set you apart completely, bring you in line with himself completely. And listen, this is the prayer of the Apostle Paul, that you may have your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will also do it. You know, the one who saved you, there's absolute total initial sanctification, and then all that is yours because of the finished work of the cross and the life of Christ, he is now working to bring all that he has achieved for you into expression and manifestation in your life. He doesn't have to do anything else to qualify you, but everything he's qualified you for, he's also going to come alongside of you and be sure that you appropriate it all. He's in partnership to make sure that you unpack everything that's yours in Christ Jesus. I know it's exciting, but please settle down. Your enthusiasm is stunning. All right. Okay. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. Come on with me to Mark chapter 5. Get your Bible, your phone, your iPad, whatever it is you use. How many still use the Bible? How many still use the pages and all that? Yeah, that's good. It's good. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. I'm going to read you a couple stories, all right? This one story about a lady with a pretty serious issue. Matthew chapter 5, verse 25. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. A woman had an issue of blood. I don't know exactly what it was, but she was constantly bleeding. She had a 12 years, she had a constant flow of blood. Now, when you look at the law, and those folks were Jewish folks, and they were under a Jewish covenant under the law. And if you had an issue like that, it literally meant that you were unclean. In their culture, unclean meant you really couldn't eat with people. If you had children, you couldn't hang on to them. You couldn't bless them, hug them. You know, you weren't even allowed to get licked by the dog. You were unclean. You couldn't go to church. You couldn't go to temple. You couldn't do anything. And when you were outside, you would have to scream or have a bell. And whenever you went outside, you'd have to ring it so people knew they were near somebody unclean in case you bumped into them. Because if somebody bumped into you, they went, oh, 7 days of ritual washing because I ran into you. Thanks for that. Rotten to see you. A pretty rough life. We're not talking a few days. We're not talking a couple months. We're talking 12 years. She'd been to every single doctor, every place you could go, every specialist, and it says that she spent much money. All right, so came along, and this woman, she came in verse 25, and there was a woman, verse 24 says, there's a great crowd with, okay, great crowd following him, and they pressed in from all sides. The amplified says, almost to suffocate him. So we're talking about a massive crowd pressing in so hard that it was almost to suffocate him. Who can see the crowd now? Who's in the story? Who's got a picture in your mind? One person, good. When she heard about Jesus, say heard. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and she touched him, say touched. She touched the hem of his garment, for she said, say said. She heard, she touched, she said. She heard, she said, she touched. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. She heard about him. She believed so much so that she spoke it out. If I just touch him, I'll be well, which led her to go into a crowd. Led her to go into a pressing crowd. Led her to go into a crowd that was so thick, even Jesus was feeling suffocated. She pushed through that crowd. She did not care. Even if her neighbor was there or anybody else was there, she didn't care if they screamed at her, not you, you're unclean, get away. She didn't give a rip. I'm touching Jesus today. Now, I hear my wife preach like T.D. Jakes last week, so I feel a little intimidated now. Gonna do my best, you know, my God. All right, immediately. Let's say immediately. Say immediately. I mean immediately. What does that mean? It means right away. Bam, right away. It says immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt. Say felt. She felt something. I like how Jess said, I felt something happened. I felt something. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him. So she was immediately touched, but Jesus also knew something. There was a flow. There was a divine release. Somebody touched me in a way that there was a flow of power that touched them. So she felt it, and he touched it, and he turned around to the crowd, big crowd, suffocating crowd, and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples said, "Everybody touch your clothes." Like, we're trying to beat these people off to get somewhere. They just won't leave us alone. Get out of the way, out of the way. And they're all just pressing. It's like, ah, can you guys move these people? I can barely breathe. The crowd's so heavy. Who touched me? And they're like, are you crazy? Everybody touched you. And he looked around and he saw this woman who had done this, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, isn't that a beautiful thing? Isn't that great? I love those first words, don't you? I like how Ananias said to Saul, brother. I just love that. But he said, my daughter. He said, my daughter. He said, your faith, say your faith. Your faith has made you well, has made you whole, has made you complete. Now I want you to go in peace and be healed of your affliction. I want you to go in peace and I want you to be healed of your affliction. Now I like studying the healings of Jesus and the way he ministered because I see myself as Jesus. Don't you want to lock me up now? You know, put me in the... You know, I go to the psych hospital, and there's several people think they're Jesus. I had one guy was there visiting, and I said, how are you today? He said, I'm Jesus. I said, I'm sure you are. And he said, no, over here. He pointed to a picture on the wall. It was a crucifixion of Christ. He says, look, showed me his knees. He says, we got the same knees. I said, I think you do. So that's pretty awesome. But I'm not nutty. I'm not crazy. See, I don't read the Gospels to see, you know, all the wonderful things Jesus did. I read the Gospels to see all the wonderful things that I can now do. I read the Gospels to see he is the example that now it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. See, Jesus was a man, but Jesus was also the Christ. And Jesus, the man, had Christ. Now, Carl, the man, because of what Jesus did, I have the Christ. I have the smearing of the anointed one on me. So now everywhere I go, people try to get in my shadow and touch my clothes because virtue is flowing from me. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. See, the next best thing isn't Jesus, please get us out of here because it's ugly down here. He put you in this to be transformational in this nation and to cause change even in the nations of the world. Amen. All right, what do we got? But you see, Jesus in these stories, it's not enough for somebody to be healed. I mean, I think a lot of people got healed because another passage says that everybody who touched him was healed. But in this space, he didn't just get a healing flowing out of him. Here, he stopped, and even though he's on his way because he wants to raise up a dead daughter, he's on his mission, but he stopped for some reason for this woman. But I think he stopped because this wasn't just a random healing. This was a woman who for 12 years has been totally hopeless, helpless, and despised. Hasn't sensed any affection, hasn't heard a kind word spoken over, hasn't had anything. She's not just broken in her body. She's got wounds in her spirit. She's got wounds in her soul. She's a complete mess, and I don't just want her body whole. I want body, soul, and spirit for her to experience the full manifestation of the redemption of God. And I think he stopped there, and the reason he said peace is because he wanted her to be whole. Jesus was unwilling to just have her healed. He wanted her whole. The word healed was your faith has healed you, is to save, to deliver from destruction, to make well, to heal, to restore to health, and to make whole. I see a lot of people sometimes get born again, but they still got broken relationships, hopeless experiences. And it seems like if you're a believer, I don't want any because it's not affecting the rest of your life. Jesus wanted her whole world to experience the transforming touch of God. Not just a little healing for your body to help you get by, but she wanted every bit of that disease to be gone, every memory of it to be erased. And he wanted her to know that she was now able to walk in the full peace of God, fully delivered, fully healed, fully made whole in Jesus' name. Important stuff. All right, I don't want to pop on to another story. Let's go to John chapter 9. Just go in your Bibles, go write a couple more chapters of the Gospel of John. And in John chapter 9, starting at verse 1, You ready? Starting at verse 1. Now, John chapter 9, verse 1 says, "Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth." So they're walking along again. They're on their journeys. And as he's walking, he sees a fella. And this is the guy who was born blind from birth. All right? So he sees this fella. And his disciples ask him right away, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him, I must work the works of which he sent me. While it is day, the night is coming when no one can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now, here's the high five. Now, you are the light of the world. Just as he was, as he is, so am I in this world. John 17, "I have sent them as you sent me." You want to know what he was sent to do? Read the Gospels. You want to know how that transferred into the church? Read the book of Acts. You want to know the inner workings of it? Read the epistles. But you are as he is in this world. You are releasing a river of transformational power everywhere you go. You don't have to go begging for a touch from God every time you run around to some service or some ministry. You are hooked up right now with everything you need for life and godliness. You are a living, breathing, reckless encounter with the glory realm everywhere you go. It is awesome. It's so awesome. It's so good. So let me go back here. Now, he said, "I must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming. No one can work. But as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." When he said these things, he spat on the ground and he made clay with the saliva and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, you have to understand, there's a little boy at our home down there, and he was only there a few days when we got there last year, and he was kind of awkward. He'd only been in the home a few days, but he was completely mute and can't hear very well. But it's amazing when you spend time with him, and now a year later, he just looks great, and he's such a beautiful kid. But he loves to play with our cameras and phones and things like that, and it's amazing how acutely amplified all of his other senses are. Because of the lack of ability to hear and speak, he communicates on so many other levels that we don't, and all his other senses are just accelerated. Neat, neat little kid. Want to see him totally healed. Beautiful little boy. But now, here's this blind man. How many know if you're blind, your other senses start to compensate and things happen? Now, I mean, all of a sudden, he's like Jesus walking by. We're not even talking to the man, just walking by, and he's standing in front of the man. I don't know that Jesus even entered into dialogue with the man, but all of a sudden, Jesus stops in front of him and goes, "You got to know he heard that. Whoa, what's going on here?" I'm going to keep reading, tell you a little more in a minute. All right. He said, when he said these things, he spat in the ground and made clay. I mean, that's a lot of spit, right? It's not just a little loogie, it's a big one. All right, so said he spits in the ground, he makes clay, and with that clay, with the saliva, he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and he said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." No kidding, you just spit in my eye. Of course I got to go wash. I mean, holy crap, you slobbered and put gook on my face. I was about to go wash, actually. No, but I want you to go wash in the pool of Siloam, the pool which is translated sent. So he went and he washed, and he came back seeing. Therefore, his neighbors who had previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is not this the one who sat there and begged?" And some said, "This he is." Others said, "He's like him." And he said, "I am he." And therefore they said, "How were your eyes open?" He said, a man called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said to me, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." So I went and I washed and I received my sight. And they said, "Then where is he?" He said, "I don't know. I don't know." Let me just tell you something, because you have to realize Jesus here, we're talking about the unlimited life. Now, you might not have been blind from birth, but I'd say some people got some blind spots in their spirit, man. Some people got some blind spots in their soul. You know, sometimes you're never going to live the unlimited life if you fully see. So today, I want y'all to come up here, and I'm going to spit on you. That's not what I'm going to do. So Jesus heals the man from birth by making mud with his spit, because he wants to break off the limitations in his life, and he wants to make him every bit whole. I'm talking about making people every bit whole. Can I get an amen? Now, in this culture, even today, when you go to Jerusalem, if they know you're a Christian, if you go through some Hasidic and real Orthodox Jews, if they know you're a Christian, they'll spit on you. Go check it out, read it out. But they'll spit on you. And in their culture, they would spit on people. And you see, it wasn't the first time that this blind man had heard somebody come in front of him and go, "Ah!" wasn't the first time, because people walk by him and spit on him every day. How would you like to get spit on every day? How would you like to have been blind from birth, and then every day you beg, and you're in a culture where people spit on you? You don't know why they spit on you? They spit on you because they believe that you're cursed because you deserve it. So when they spit on you, they say, I agree with what Jesus, or with what God did to you. I agree that you're cursed. That's why they spit on Jesus, because cursed is he who hangs on a tree. Give me a couple more slides. Give me the next one here. Go ahead, you can do it. Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents. Now I put in red the colon, okay? Anybody know how grammar works? Anybody? How many hate grammar? Have always hated grammar? Come on, be honest. Grammar is important, though, when you're reading the word. Interesting how the word is written. And there is grammar, and so we have translations of that. I was going to put up a picture of the most authentic old text. But a colon, thank God for the King James Version. It actually did put a colon. Colon means end of the thought, okay? And then we're going to throw some other stuff that may be related to it, but that's the end of that thought. Now, a lot of translations don't do that, sadly. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. You get it? Neither has this man sinned nor his parents. See, they're trying to find out who's responsible for the blindness. And Jesus said, it isn't about trying to figure out who screwed up. But see, in their culture, when they saw somebody screwed up, they figured they deserved that, or God did it to them, so on you. So how horrible is it when Jesus comes along and he's about to hork on you as well? Well, this is pleasant. How are you feeling me yet? That's why some people sit closer to the front, because the spit is redemptive. Amen. The spray zone. Hallelujah. Pay extra for those seats. So this man is not sin nor his parents, colon. But that the works of God should be made manifest, I must work the works. So here it is. It has nothing to do with that. I just ran into a blind man. I must work the works of God. It's not about assigning blame or trying to figure out what's wrong. I just ran into somebody who's got a problem. I just ran into a limitation. I just ran into an obstacle in somebody's life. I have a responsibility to loose the kingdom right here and now. And that's the proper punctuation, the proper way it should be done. I must work the works of the kingdom. I must do what he sent me for. While it is day, night cometh when no man can work. I must do the work right now. Now let me give you a couple other translations which are unfortunate. Here they are. You ready? The NIV. This happened so that the works of God might be displayed. Now some people will go, oh, see, that guy was blind so that God's glory could be revealed. Bah! What a brutal thing to say. Wrong. Sickness, let me say it again. You ready? Devil bad, God good. God doesn't put that stuff on people. He sent Jesus to get that stuff off people, and now he's sending you, just like he sent him, to go break every obstacle off of people's life, go introduce them to the unlimited life, and break every obstacle to the reality in their lives. Another brutal translation, sadly, the New Living Translation. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. Didn't. See, they're saying that Jesus is saying, well, it wasn't the sin of the father and mother, but he's sick so that the glory could be seen. That's not true. That's not even the punctuation of it. But it was so that the works of my God might be displayed in him. All poor translations. The Message, which is a paraphrase, actually has the best translation. Here it is. You ready? The Message. Jesus said, you're asking the wrong question. You're looking for somebody to blame. There's no such cause or effect here. Look instead for what God can do. Don't try to analyze it's bad. Wherever it's bad, introduce good. Let me make it easy for you. If you see something bad, why is that bad? It's not even important. What's important is manifest good. But you see, the people of their culture, they walk by, oh, blind guy from birth, oh, hey, how you doing? Because spit was, you're cursed. So I'm agreeing with God, you're cursed. And you see, it's sad that we even do that. You know, as believers, we still think some people have got limitations and things in their life. Well, I guess they deserve that. I guess they screwed up somewhere in their journey, so they're just not living as blessed as I am. You know, if you see somebody who may not be, in your opinion, living as blessed as you are, don't spit on them with your miserable thoughts. Speak life. Bring life, bring health, bring healing. That's a great opportunity to manifest the kingdom. It's not about the cause and effect thing here. Look instead for what God can do. We need to be energetically at work for the one who sent me here, working while the sun shines. I like that. I just thought that was good. I'll let that kind of sink in a little. Praise the Lord. All right. John 9, 6 and 7. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground. He made clay with saliva. He anointed the eyes of the man with clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and he came back seeing. So let me give you the next slide. You ready? Go ahead. Give me the next one. This man would have been spit on regularly, but the spit means you agree with the curse of God. Jesus was spat upon at the cross. Now the last one, you ready? Jesus spat on the curse. He didn't spit on the man. He spat on the curse. He spat on the ground. He spat on what was cursed, and he redeemed what was cursed, and he put on this man's face a redemptive transformational purpose in his life. He spat on the curse in his life to eliminate that curse from him, and he tore it out. He went and he washed, and he was totally set free. So he spat on the curse at its root, and he wanted this man free from the curse in his body, free from the curse in his soul, free from the curse in his spirit. He wanted what was used against him to be what would be used to redeem him. I know, it's all right though. Praise God, just give a bigger offering next week. All right. He used what had been accursed. He used that sound that had always been, oh, here's another spitter, to redeem him from ever hearing that sound again, to set him free from the pain of ever hearing that in his life. He used what was so painful to cause the curse in his life to be shattered and to be broken. It's just so good. He's so good. Isn't he good? Let me give you one more verse. You ready? I gave it to you earlier, but a couple more. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Isn't that amazing what God did? God defeated the curse by becoming the curse. He took the curse by taking the curse. As it is written, is everyone. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Then they spat on him, and they took a reed, and they struck him. And everybody who passed by looked at him like, you deserve this. They treated him like, you brought this on yourself. And yet he was perfect, and he took all of it so that you can be totally free. Wherever there's curse, wherever there's brokenness, wherever there's limitation in your life, Jesus took it all so you can be free. You can absolutely, totally live the unlimited life right now because Jesus took it all. We give you another verse. Here you go. John chapter 3, 3 John actually. It's coming up right now. Look at it. There it is. I can see it. In Jesus' name, I call it into manifestation. Okay. 3 John 3, 3 John 2 and 4. Hello? It's not there? It's really not there? Oh, there it is. 3 John 2 to 4. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when my brethren said, you're in the truth, walking in the truth. No greater joy than here, you're walking in the truth. Here's the truth today. You're free. Here's the truth today. Jesus took it all. Here's the truth today. You can't do it on your own. If you want anything good, you got to get it from him. But he doesn't want you just free, just born again a little bit. He wants you saved, holy, sanctified through and through, totally redeemed. If you got any brokenness in your soul, if you got any experience that the Holy Spirit can touch in you right now, you go, I've felt spit on. Nobody actually might have spit on me. Maybe they did. But you felt like life has spit on you. And you've somehow the accuser come and try to tell you, well, you deserve that. Well, you brought that on yourself. If there's any situation in your life where you feel you're limited and you'll never really get ahead, I want you to spit on that. Because that is so untrue. The truth is, who the Son sets free is free indeed. You're totally free in every way, body, soul, and spirit, totally, completely redeemed and ransomed from every ugly thing. Settle down. I know that was good. All right. Now, I'm going to ask Wayne. Where's Wayne? Come on up here, Wayne. Okay, I just wanted Wayne to come last because Wayne was helping me. We were all there, but the Sunday night, I just wanted to do a healing service. Just wanted to preach, and I talked about the Father's business. They said, we're all supposed to do the Father's business. And they showed how the Father's business is to heal, because the children's bread is healing. And so Amen. It's the Father's business to break that bread and loose it everywhere. And preached about healing and just loose that on everybody. And a lot of people started getting healed. Wayne was helping me. So tell me, what was going on that night? What was happening? What did you see?
Well, what I saw was just a whole lineup of needy people who, you know, recognized that there was, you know, attacks on them, that there was things that they believed in that needed to be set free. There was a ton of people that came in with migraine headaches. And then, you know, just this whole, it was like a line of weight coming to the front. And then the chains just fell off.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It was so good.
Yes.
It was so good. It's funny, I had a word of knowledge for migraines, and there had to be at least 10, 12, 13 people in a row with migraines. And I thought, this is way bigger than just a simple, sickness or disease on people. So this is like a spirit over this area. We got to break that off. It's just terrible. Migraines is a plague. It's not just a headache. It's a plague. Because that comes, it just debilitates you and hinders you. And that's not from God. Devil bad, God good. So we saw a lot of, we had one lady came with her eyes all messed up. What happened to her eyes?
Well, her eyes, it was like, I think it was just cloudiness or something, what I understood from John's translation. And God just totally set her free. She was able to see perfectly. Even talking to John, you know, at the end of the week, he said there's still testimonies coming of that night.
Yeah.
What was also cool was, you know, as the line decreased, you know, the next time you look up and there's like six more standing there. So what was happening in the room was increasing the faith of all the people there saying, you know what, if he'd got it, I can get it.
Exactly.
And it was just a powerful move of God's spirit. It wasn't awesome.
Yeah, while I was preaching, I kept messing with Kevin because, you know, Kevin was there. And I said, Kevin was totally healed of Crohn's disease. I mean, acute, chronic Crohn's. Terrible, terrible place he was in. And God totally healed Kevin. So much so that I watched Kevin eat a pizza and two hamburgers and...
He was just going for it.
I said, you're my hero. He was intercessorily eating for me. It was amazing. But, you know, and it's amazing. I said, you know, if God did it for Kevin, and he really did, he'll do it for you. And you just got to say next.
Amen.
You know, because God's really good. It was great, because that woman with the eyes, it was like you could see her eyes totally changed. It was like the cloud gone, and you're like, wow. We had another guy with had chronic pain in his feet, was totally healed. And another guy couldn't lift his shoulder, and his shoulder was healed. And so we saw so many healings in that meeting. But I just want to show you one more. We're going to put a little video on, so if Sue can get that one ready for me. But we were finished up the end of the week just having fun out doing, you know, backflips on the pier. And we didn't videotape mine, but mine was a double flip with a gainer and a half twist. It was pretty awesome.
I missed that, Pastor.
Did you miss that one, too?
I missed that, sorry.
Maybe you guys weren't there at the time. But anyways, it was really cool. But we had a lot of fun. Then our last night, we were just getting ready, packed up to fly back home. And we were at the resort just chilling and talking to some of the guests there. And they have people there who stay there 5 weeks at a time and work in Haiti. And so we were talking to a guy from Scotland, and he was a daredevil guy. And the day before we got there, they had a four-hour gunfight all around our hotel. And it started at 9 in the morning and went till noon. And then they said it's like they broke for lunch, and then they picked it up again at 12:30 and fought the rest of the afternoon. It was bang, bang, boom, bang. Everybody was on the floors in their hotel rooms, and they said it was really crazy. And the guy from Scotland said, that wasn't so bad. Everybody ran to their rooms and laid on the floor, but I was in the balcony trying to see what was going on. You know, I said, not so bad. But he said he'd been in Libya. When he was in Libya, he pulled up to the airport with a rental car, and there were the forces of the government and these rebel forces on either side of the lane, and they were like, and then he pulled up and they went, oh, stop. They stopped. He pulled through, and Kevin said, that's funny. That's like playing street hockey. You're playing, car! You know? And he said, no problem. I dropped off the rental car. It had bullet holes all in. It was all good. That's crazy. And he said, I was in Yemen doing the great big heavy load tractors, taking things, you know, to this job site. And he says, all of a sudden, the road just exploded. It was gone in front of me. And it was, these guys were using anti-aircraft guns and shooting up the road in front of us. And then the Yemeni army or whatever went after them. And then they were trying to go around. This guy just crazy. He's daredevil. He also, he looked a little older than me, but he when he's off, he goes all over the world. And he has a 1260cc motorcycle that he races 24-hour endurance races with. Guy's just a madman. Anyways, we were just, you know, wanted to bless him. But then a fellow named Mike came up. And Mike, we were talking with Mike. And so I like to ask people where they're from. And so I said, where are you from, Mike? He said, I'm from Savannah, Georgia. I said, I know people from Savannah, Georgia. I said, do you know any of the Sullivans? He says, yeah, I might know some Sullivans. Yeah. I said, do you know a Bobby Sullivan? He says, I'm not sure. I might know a Bobby. And then I went, Bobby's son. What's his son's name? And Kevin went, Denny. I went, Denny. What, you know Denny Sullivan? He says, I know Denny Sullivan. I said, really? really? He said, yeah, actually, I'm going back next week. My son's birthday. I'm renting a bouncer from Denny. I said, that is so cool. That's amazing. Down here doing that. And he told us about his whole life. It was a lot of fun talking to him. But I had Wayne behind me, and then Julie sat beside me. Kevin and I were talking away with him. And so having a real fun time. Beautiful guy. And then I said, what's up, Wayne? And Wayne's going, I want to pray for this guy. And then Julie, she says, yeah, Pastor, before he told us that he had a shoulder condition, but when I sat down, the Lord told me he's got a shoulder condition and he's also got a rotator cuff problem. And I went, wow, but then he said he's pretty good from that. And I went, oh, I think we should pray for him. So I said, hey, Mike, you know, we're down here doing some business too, some Holy Ghost business. These two guys want to pray for you. And he said, yeah, let's do it. All right, so they prayed for him. But when it was done, I asked, could I take a video of you? So here it is, you ready? Can you pull that up for me, Sue? This was just so cool. It was so fun. So Wayne just felt like you want to pray for Mike. We met Mike, and he knows the Sullivans. He knows Denny down in Savannah, but Julie had a word of knowledge about his shoulder, and right away, I turned to Wayne, and Wayne said, I'd really love to pray for this guy. And so Mike here, let's see your hand, Mike. Mike's hand there, when he came, these fingers were totally fused together. Is that right, Mike?
That's right.
That's right. And it's been 7 years since those fingers were opened up, but they're opened up tonight for the first time in 7 years. And this shoulder is being completely restored because Mike loves to play softball and wants to play more than 6 games in the tournament. So we just praise Jesus for being so good to us. Awesome to meet you, Mike. Good stuff. Yeah.
Thank you. Amen.
What a joy. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Now you have to understand, you watched that, but I mean, we listened to him talk to us probably for 20, 25 minutes, and it was striking that his hands were stuck together like this. And we asked him about it, and he said, well, I love playing softball. And one time I was in a tournament and had to go get a cast put on, but then I couldn't play with the cast, so I just tore it off. And he says, but then after I tore it off, my fingers are fused together, and they've been stuck like this for 7 years. Well, I'll tell you, Julie and Wayne got around this guy, started praying, and I literally, bam, when they started praying, I went, oh, I was just like, bam, it was like heaven dropped in such a big way. And, you know, literally, it was the funniest thing, because Jess, Wayne's daughter, she was like, well, how are they going to explain to this guy when nothing happens?
Yeah.
What's going on? This poor guy, we're going to pray for him, and nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so Jess stand there, and she went, holy poop. It was really amazing. It was so amazing. Because literally, it was powerful. Because he was holding his hand like this, and you literally went, and he went, well, I've been able to do that in 7 years. Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. You know, yeah. And he's like, you know, he said, I can only play 6 games in a row at a softball tournament. But now, my God, I can be in the hole. And he said, my coach is going to love this.
Yeah. 93 mile an hour fastball.
Yeah. I mean, very, very cool. Wasn't that cool, Wayne?
That was cool.
That was so cool. Yes. It was so good to see that. And it was so good to be a part of that. But I'll tell you, we had many, many demonstrations of healing. But, you know, the guy's life was limited. Mm-hmm. You know, the things he enjoys, he was limited in even doing the things he enjoys. You know, and because of his shoulder, he was limited on how much he could play. And because of his hand, it limited how effective he could play. But, you know, God cares about that stuff.
Amen.
And it was an opportunity to manifest the kingdom and do that. And that was so much fun. It was so much fun to do this trip and see God show up in all of those different ways. Are you ready? Did you have anything else you want to say, Wayne?
Well, actually, Pastor John, at the end of it, when he came back the next morning, because he wasn't present at the healing or the miracle, and so we told him about it, and his first response was, yes, this was a divine appointment. You know, so the hope that it gave him for the whole trip, that was God's seal on the trip, that, you know, this is God's divine appointment.
Yes.
And I just hope there's going to be many more.
Amen.
Yeah.
Truth.
Amen.
Yeah, we had some lady had ovary condition, and I don't know how to explain how she got healed. But anyway, John told me, explained some of it to me. But
I thought you said to her, get over it.
Get over it, you know. But anyway, she got totally healed as well. So he was said, you know, 3 or 4 days later, people were still calling from the meeting, letting him know they were touched. And I do want to see. And I was just really with John. I was praying with John. I said, John, I want you to be sure that you keep an element mm-hmm. of the supernatural in your ministry.
Yes.
And it's so important, you know. And he has a strong revelation of breakthrough in the word. And I said, just always show the kingdom, always reveal the kingdom. It's not just talk, it's show and tell.
Amen.
And so we got to do the show. And I just wanted that to happen because I wanted John to see that this is, you know, this is just us, and God wants to do this stuff all the time.
Yeah.
So that was good. Amen.